Okay, we continue the Rambam, Hilchos Mavo Velova, Perikas Vavalocha Gimel, Chapter 15, Law 3. Now, there are certain conditions that the lender can make with the borrower, although they're not favorable conditions for the Lova, but if he makes this at the time of the agreement and the Lova is willing to accept those terms, he must abide by those terms, even though, according to normative halacha, without those conditions, we would not do these things. And it's clearly to the Malva's advantage, but he doesn't want to have to go through difficulties if the Lova is not going to pay him back, which he would have to normally halachically go through. So you could say he's being a tough lender, but he wants to protect his interests as well. And that's the next few halachas discuss this. Hisna ha-Malva. If the Malva makes the condition at the time of the loan, this cannot be made after the loan was made. Alalo, it makes the condition against the lender. If the lender will believe all the time, under all circumstances, if he says that the borrower did not pay him back. So the simple example would be when the lender says you owe me money, and the borrower says, what's the simple case? You have a shtar. The lender says you owe me the money. You didn't pay me back. The borrower says you paid me back. What happens normally? A little chazor here. What happens?
Looking
ahead, so I don't answer.
What was the case? Is there a star tomorrow?
It's a star.
Okay, so then the guy has to pay. It's not a question.
That's all?
No.
Well, he has to make an oath.
Who has to make an oath?
The lender
has to make an oath. So he has to invoke God's name in order to get the money, eh? Is he excited to do that?
Not really.
Okay, so that's the point. So if he says to the Lova that I'm lending you on the condition that I am believed at any time to say you haven't paid. Okay, now what's that worth, that I am believed to say at any time you haven't paid? That means I don't have to make an oath to collect. And that's why he's making this condition. Maybe he's heard about this guy. This guy was always very, you know, he borrows, word spreads that he says doesn't pay, and only after he forces the oath. So a few very pious guys who don't want to invoke God's name, the guy got off the hook from having to pay back. Other people had invoked God's name. God says, I don't want to have any problems with this guy. You want the money? Fine. But if I say you haven't paid me back, you're going to pay me, period. Now, Lovik says, I don't want to do that. So if I say, it's fine, I'm not going to lend you the money. Okay, but if you do that, Hare Zen no tell below Shvua. He collects without having to make an oath. Because the whole point of him saying, I want to be believed no matter what I say, that means to avoid the oath. Afal Pisha Tom Pro, even though the guy claims that he paid him back. Doesn't matter. Yet normally, if you didn't make this precondition, and the guy claims he paid him back, then the Malva has to make an oath. But here, he doesn't have to make the oath, because that was the condition. However, this condition can't be so strong. It's only to say that he's believed. That's fine for that. However, Vim Havi Adim Shpro, what if the borrower brings witnesses into the court that say that he paid? Well, that already ain't a notoklum. Then the Malva can't take anything, because all we're saying is that the Lova is accepting the believability of the Malva against him. He can't speak on behalf of the court. He can't speak on behalf of the witnesses. But he says, in terms of me, you have a believability. We're not going to say we don't believe you, but witnesses always trump that. If it's one word against another, fine, we understood. You want to get out of making an oath. That's fine. Because after all, I'm requiring you to make an oath because I claim I paid and you say I didn't pay. But once there's witnesses, two witnesses, that's the gold standard. You can't go against that unless you make a further condition that we'll see in Allah Adalit. So it could be the guy, you know, again, two witnesses would seem to be a very good proof. It's not a question of believing anymore. It's not a question of not believing the Malva. I got two witnesses. I don't need to believe anybody. The witnesses is binding law. Dalid makes things much more interesting. What if he's snell off? What if he makes a condition to even strengthen his position even further? Not that I'm just that I can believe, but she amalva neman kishne edim, that I should be believed as if it was two witnesses who testified. Okay, and that's not just to believe me what I'm saying. You know, whatever I now. You don't have to agree to this, but if you want to borrow from me, I have to be as believed as two witnesses. Which means that the Malva should be believed, meaning more than that. It's not just going to be two versus two. Because then if you had another two witnesses, a question of two versus two, which complicates things. But he means to be believed to the exclusion of anyone, anything else. This is carte blanche, 100% believability, even if somebody else, and this is what it's not just to believe me, but to believe me, witnesses, and nobody else has believability.
Wow.
Now, it's a very strong condition. The Lova that's could scary. Say no.
That's scary for the borrower, because the borrower could really pay out when he just...
Hold on. That's good. The Rambam's going to deal with that a little bit later on in this halacha. So now, even now, if the Lovet brings two witnesses that he paid, he can collect from him below Shvuah without making an H. He was believed as two witnesses, and even more, and the other two are not even believed against him. Even if the Lovet brings 100 witnesses that he paid back, the two that he is like the 100, and therefore it's not going to help. However, what if the guy says like this? What if the Lova now initiates this? You're believed to me like three witnesses. Fusep is three. Two is like to say, two, and that's the minimum, that's like for everything. But three, so therefore he sort of, he bothered to specify, three and not more than three. Okay? Two is like the benchmark. That's believability.
Yeah.
But what do you need three for? Ho, the Yored Laminion, since he specified the amount, so he says you're believed and not more than three witnesses. And therefore, Imparo Bifnei Arba, if he pays back in front of four witnesses, Hareza Perua, that's considered a four. In other words, he's believed like three, but he's not believed like four.
Four comes to three.
That's right, and it'll be more than that.
What's the other receipt?
What if he has a receipt?
What if the guy says, I'm believed for two witnesses, 100 witnesses, but the other guy has actually got a receipt that he paid him back?
Well, in this case, it would seem it wouldn't matter. I don't know. I don't know. The Rambam doesn't say. I'm not going to speculate. I don't know. Yeah?
So can we use this principle of putting these conditions in, like if a guy's writing his ketubah for his wife, if there's any question later on, I'm going to be accepted. There's no question. Can we use this?
If a woman wants to accept these conditions... Wouldn't be a very clever woman to make these conditions. You can always make conditions for financial issues. If people are willing to agree to the financial issues. Now, it could be maybe certain areas of ksuva where effectively there's no ksuva. Maybe the rabbis overrule it because it would be undermining the whole institution of ksuva, which is more than a financial issue. So that could be another consideration. If he's going to say, I'm getting married in the condition I never have to pay you a ksuva. That could be a difficulty, because then the whole point of the ksuva was that he should not flippantly get rid of his wife. And now he's saying, I'm married, so I can flippantly get rid of it. I don't know if he would be accepting in that. Okay, so now we come to Paul's question. Okay, Zeh Shehemin HaMalva Kishneidim. So this guy who's going to allow the Malva to believe like two witnesses, Matia Takanto. How do you fix things up? So he pays. He has got to pay, yeah? Fine. So he's going to pay. Then a week later, the guy comes back and says, I want you to pay me. He says, what do you mean? I paid you already. Well, I am believable like two witnesses. I said you haven't paid.
He's my witness.
He'll have to keep doing it. So how do we make sure it doesn't get abused? So there's two ways to do this. First of all, Kishiyikra, when he pays back, he says, hold on, I'm paying you back. Hand me over the shtar, please. Yikra hashtar, and you rip up the shtar. Without the shtar, the guy could talk from today till tomorrow. It's nothing. So the shtar's out. O yo'id ze ha-malva atzma. Or we make the malva make an oath in front of witnesses. Shebitel kol shtar shel apono. He publicly announces in front of witnesses, I nullify any outstanding loans that I may have against you. Once he said that, that's believed over whatever, he's believing himself against himself. So he can't come back and say you didn't pay me back when he just says I'm nullifying all outstanding loans.
Two witnesses for that too.
What? Well, there has to be witnesses that it has happened.
Right.
If we don't have a witness, how do we know it ever happened?
Yeah.
So these things have to be proved. Or he can testify on himself, not in front of the Lova. The counter say this, I don't know why it has to be not in front of the Lova, it could be in front of the Lova. He could say a reverse. He could say, I received all outstanding debts. She ashlo ways the point that I have with so and so. In other words, it could do one or two ways. You say, I will not collect any more outstanding debts. Or he says, I have collected all outstanding debts from so-and-so. And when the malva will want to collect a second time, now we'll bring the witnesses who will testify that the guy admitted that he doesn't have to pay him anything. So therefore, it can't be any better than himself. So therefore, that's how it'll work, and he won't have to pay another time. Okay, we continue. Halacha, hey. Okay, now let's say like this. So this, the Malva has put himself in a very favorable position now, and he can collect even if the Lova has indeed paid him back. Now this could happen at other, this can be in other situations as well, but this is the one that's most likely for it to turn up if he says, I'm believed like two witnesses. So the guy pays him. So let's see how far this could go. It could very well be that the Malva will be able to extract from the Lova double payment already from him. So if the Lova wasn't so smart to have him rip up the contract the first time, does the Lova have anything he can do? And the answer is there is something he can do. Let's say if in fact the Lova did pay him back. Only he is going to claim that. The Malva is saying, no, you never paid me back. Vitana Malva Shalonifra. And the Malva says, you never paid me back. So what happens? That forced the hand. Upro pam shnia. Now the Lova has to pay a second time. From the Lova's perspective, he feels he's paid twice. Now Bezin doesn't know that. The Malva is claiming, no, this is the first time I have it. But let's say in fact it's so. At least the Malva knows it's true. Does he have any recourse? And he has to pay a second time. That's nine. Because of the condition that he allowed himself to be accepted with. That the owner doesn't have to swear, doesn't do anything, just collects it. Does he have any recourse? And there is a recourse here. Only on the second time, not on the first time. Meaning to say, now of course we standing outside don't know it's first or second time. Right. So it could be the Malva comes and says, listen, why did you pay me back? So it says, I paid you back. Remember what we said? I don't have to do anything about that. Okay, you don't have to think about it. But I'm telling you, I paid you already. And the Lova is very determined about that.
But there's a shtar. Okay,
bad. I got to pay a second time. I wasn't smart enough to rip it. I'm going to pay a second time. This time I'm going to rip it up. So is there something he can do? Yes. Hareha Lova. Now we're going to start with a new claim. Now, what was said until now is you have to believe the Malva insofar as this debt was not paid. If I say it's not paid, you have to believe me. Okay, I agree. You have to believe this. The Lova can come back with a counterclaim now after he's paid a second time. Hare Halova Choser.
From his point of view.
What?
Second time from his
From his point of view. Now, okay, I in terms of me, the Malva collecting, he can collect. If he says he didn't pay, he didn't pay. Hare Halova Choser, he's gonna come back with Tovea Samav. He's gonna claim from the Malva, but then in court, Fiormel is gonna say the following. The Lova is gonna launch a new suit against the Malva with the following claim. Kach v'kach atoch hayavli. You owe me, Mr. Malva, $100. Why? Mipnei sheparaticha shtei pavim. Because I paid you twice. Okay? He couldn't stop the Malva from collecting. But if he really believes, just like anybody could walk, if you think I took money from you, and there's no documents or nothing, you could take me to court, and you could say I'm making a claim against you, and you'd force me to make a rabbinic oath to deny it. So we couldn't stop the Malva from collecting the money. And he doesn't have to make an oath to collect the money because he's believed to collect the money. But now the Lova is producing a new suit now. He's saying, you know, I am now claiming wrongful collection of a second one. I couldn't stop you from collecting. That whole condition was you couldn't stop you. So now that's his claim. So if the Malva imhoda, if the Malva admits, you know, you taka right, I took advantage, I collected some time, then Yishan pays back.
Okay.
Beim kafar, but if he denies it, then Yishav Shvuas Hases, he has to make a rabbinic oath, al kach, to that effect, shalom parol b'mach, that he only paid him one time, v'chein kol kayesu, anything similar to that. So the question now is, so what did the Malva gain by doing all this? So number one is he gains a lot. He doesn't have to make a biblical oath, he's making a rabbinic oath.
And he only has to make it if the guy happens to bring a countersuit.
Number one, and that's only if he's going to make a countersuit. A, B, if he's clever, he may even make further conditions in the future. I'm going to make a further thing that you will never counterclaim me.
Yeah.
Now that you know that he could counterclaim him. But from all this, it becomes very clear that what should the Lova be doing when he allows this thing to be done? Take the shtar and rip it up.
Now.
If you don't take the shtar and rip it up, and you've allowed yourself to be in that position, then you only have yourself to blame.
That's it.
And that's...
Mama can claim I lost the shtar and reduce it a second time.
What?
But
then he'd have to, but then that's a shtar that could, was a forgery. Yeah, and now they can prove it's a forgery.
The first time, the mobile can say, look, I made this document and I lost it, but I'm going to collect from you anyway.
No, you're not. You don't have a shtar.
No,
you don't collect.
No laundry.
I don't owe you nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's
no shtar. I'm sorry. Then you know what? Write me a receipt. Write me a receipt. I'll pay you, write a receipt, dated with witnesses, and I paid you back today.
Yes.
So do that. So you always can get that, you know, justice can prevail sometimes.
Whoa.
Okay. Okay. Now, let's see now, even if there is a shtar, let's continue. Hisna halova, if the lova, now we're going to, I believe, reverse it now. Now we're going to make an idea where the lova can be on the top. Over here, I believe that's going to work over here. He's not lova. If the lova now makes a condition that's favorable to him, even when there is a star's written, it must be a really nice malva who's allowing. He's a nice guy. Okay, she a neman v'chol eishiyomer parati. He says to the malva, "I want to be believed when I say I paid back. You're going to believe me when I say I paid back, right?"
Now, the lender who knows it. People know he keeps asking for a second time, this lender. So the borrower is protecting himself. It's the lender who always demands.
Oh, the lender has a reputation of collecting a second time and making the guy make an oath.
Yeah.
Right. But again, I don't know. Well, that's a little bit difficult because why don't you just take the shtar?
Yeah.
Again, you could. The lova always has the simple recourse. Take the shtar and there's not a problem. So maybe the lova feels he's a forgetful Jones. And he forgets to do things. And you know what? His wife said, if you're going to borrow this, I've already paid a few times extra.
Yeah.
Tell the guy, you know, that you have to believe me about this. Whatever. Eina gova bishtar. So now the malva cannot collect with a shtar if the lova says, I paid you back.
Wow.
He can't. Lo bishtar zeh. And lo min hayoresh. He cannot collect from the children. If the borrower dies, he can't collect from the children. Velo min alokech. And not from someone who bought from the lover afterwards, where the properties would be leaned against him, because the bezdin will make the claim for the inheritors and for the borrower whatever the lover was able to claim.
Goes to his descendants.
That's right. Whatever he could have claimed gets pushed through. Whatever. Valfilu omer lova. Even if the lover says, "Look at this." Now he said, "You have to believe me that I say I paid back." All right. So now let's take it a step further. What if the lova says lo parati? The lova says, I didn't pay you back. Okay? Eina malva torah bishtar zemina lakuchos. Now, you think now, oh, the guy said, I didn't pay you back. So he goes to the lova and says, okay, can you please pay me? Sorry, I haven't got any money. Oh, okay. What? Then I guess I'll have to go to someone who bought some property after the borrowing. Yeah, I guess so. So no, we don't do that. Kashema Asa Kanunya, because that could be a great situation where the Malva and Lova are in cahoots with each other. It's an obvious case where the guy didn't pay him at all, and he says you'll just collect the land and we'll split the difference or whatever. Or maybe he did pay him. He did pay him, and now let's just split the set. So that could happen. Al Nechasav Zel with this guy's property. So therefore, it we don't allow that. It won't go, but it could go for his children. But Kahoot, he wouldn't be in cahoots against his own kids, but he would if he died. But it would not work against other people. What if now Ton Halova Bishtarza? Let's say the Halova makes a claim and he says like this: Parati Mitzasa, I paid part. Valmalva Omer Lo Paraklum, and the guy said he didn't pay anything. So let's think about what's going on over here. So here, although he said if I said I paid, you'd believe me, and then I wouldn't have to do anything. But he already says he admits something. So the fact for you to make me swear when I'm a total denier, that my condition helped. But now if I myself admit to that, well, that's a whole new type of oath over here.
Yes.
So therefore, Mishalim HaMikza Shehodabo, he has to make, pay the half he believes, he said not. Vinish Veshvuas Heses, he makes a rabbinic oath, Shaharei Heminu, because he's believed for what he says he doesn't pay. So really, it's just a kofar hakol on what's left, isn't it? Okay, fine. And what if he says, you know, I want you to believe me to the point that I don't have to make a Shavuos Heses, and an Ishva that he doesn't even have to make a Shavuos Heses.
Wow.
That's right. Okay, one more halacha. Zion. Hisna Malva. Again, the Malva makes a condition, again, with a star. Shiyya Gova below Shavua, that he can collect without a Shavua. Alright, Hareza Govamenu below Shua. He can collect with him without an oath. Okay, that.
We learned that already.
Yes, but let's continue. But now that's just setting us up for the next thing.
Brilliant.
What if the guy dies, the lender dies, the borrower dies, wants to collect from the Yorshim?
They have to swear.
Without anything. Then Yeshava, he has to make an oath.
No, the Yorshim have to make an oath.
No, he wants to collect, no?
Yeah, but
the Malva wants to collect.
Okay, from the Yorshim.
And the Yorshim can't swear.
Okay, right. So the
right, he wants to collect without an oath.
Okay.
Right? So he has to make an oath because the children don't know anything.
Right.
But then he can collect. So anybody wants to collect from Yisomim. But what if the condition was made initially with the alive man? That if
right.
you die, I want to collect without an oath. Go below, he cannot collect with an oath, without an oath because he made such a condition.
Thanks, Dad.
Now, there's other conditions. What happens if you don't pay and now you can collect from property? What's the halacha? What kind of property can you collect from the borrower? So usually the biblical law is if a guy does not pay and you go to the borrower to collect, the biblical laws, you collect the lowest grade property. The rabbis made a rule, they collect from the middle grade, because if you're only from the low grade, people aren't going to lend anymore. But what if he makes a condition, I'm going to lend you money, if you don't pay me back, you got to pay me from the best property. Then gova mina edus, he can collect from the best property, af mina yorshim, even from the children, because that's all part of the condition. Shekol tnai b'shebamam and kaim, any monetary condition stays. Now, what if though, bo ligbos mina lokeach, what if he now wants to get from the buyer, he wants to take from the buyer, so lio yitrof elavishvua, he can only collect with an oath, even if he made an oath. They've made a condition that he can collect from the buyers without an oath. It won't help. You can't make it. The lova can't make a condition to make a different guy lose money because he sold the guy. The guy who bought it from him doesn't know all these conditions. You can't make a condition that a third party should lose. You can make a condition your children could lose. Well, even that, the guy could make a condition. But for your children to lose, they can't be any better than you. But the guy who buys from you, it's bad enough he has to lose the property. Now the guy doesn't have to make an oath. That, the guy says, I don't know what's going on over here. If when he sells it, he says, I'm telling you now, I already made a condition with the guy, and if you want to buy it, you have to be willing to buy it and willing not to do it. Okay, then maybe he could accept that, but he wouldn't assume such terms were made. And it's kind of a surprise on the guy. Just like you can't, the Malva can't make the Lova after he borrows it accept these kind of conditions after it was done. It's like you're doing the same thing to the buyer. The buyer doesn't know what's going on. All of a sudden he's surprised when he says, well, what's this going on? Doesn't make any sense. It's not fair. And therefore, he doesn't have to make an oath. All right, let's move on to chapter 16. We'll just do one or two halachas over here. I think we're making up for the wedding, Shelley. it's good. So this way you don't miss. Okay, now we're going to talk about the moment of payback of the loan. Describing clearly when is the moment of the payback of the loan and what are the circumstances of that. First of all, number one, simple, obvious statement, hachov b'achrayas halova. When you make a loan and there's a debt, the lova, the borrower, has responsibility that he has to pay. And no one argues that it's, and let's say the money's in his hand, and he's ready to pay back the guy. He's taking, went to the bank, took the money out of the bank. He's walking over to the guy's house. He's 10 feet from the guy's house. And now bandits go and hold him up.
It's not the, it's
and he's
not,
gonna say, well, I took the money to pay him back already. And I wanted to pay him back.
We took this already.
Too bad.
In the wilderness?
No, we're just saying the obvious now. This is the obvious. We're not saying any chiyusha now. We're just saying the obvious. It's too bad. You got achrayus no matter what. So till you pay him back. Even though you wanted to and you this and you that.
Doesn't matter.
You're on the hook. That's all there is. Now that responsibility lasts until when? Anshi perennially yada malva, till you put it into the hand of the malva, or oliyad shlucho, or a agent of the malva, that the malva made as a shluch to receive it, and we know he did, made him an agent. So if the guy says, listen, I'm sending my agent over to collect it, okay, I gave it to the agent, that's good enough. But, and it even goes a little further. The malva says to him, the guy's coming, and the malva says, oh, okay, you know, I'm upstairs, so now I can't come down, the door's locked. You know what?
Slip it through the mail.
Just stroke lichovi. Throw it to me. Vipater, and he says, and you won't, and you'll be free from the loan. Throw it. He said it. He said, you sure you want me to throw it to you? Yeah, just throw it to me. Uzrako, and he throws it, and all of a sudden, a big wind comes, or whatever. The avad it gets lost, onisra fire or whatever. Kodesh Yigal, before it came to the malva, potter, because the malva said you could do it.
Yep. As soon as it leaves his hands,
he says, "Just throw it to me." Okay, he said,
"Throw."
No, he said more than throw it to me, and you will be potter.
From a curve.
Okay, so that's where it gets. You see, even though he didn't put it in his hand, but the guy said it's fine. Now, how about like this? We know in the laws of divorce.
Right.
Laws of divorce,
they're
very specific rules. It has to get into the reshus of the person. It's not good enough. For example, the woman just says, throw it to me, and I'll be divorced.
No.
Doesn't work. So if the guy now says, the malva says, Amarlo, the malva says, okay, you know what, you can't get to me exactly, so Zrokli Chovi Petar is getting, pay me back the debt, the way it works in the laws of divorce.
Oh boy.
So then you can make that be. So now it has to work the way a get works as well, such as. So let's say he throws it, and it's in between the malva and the lova. So it goes the same way divorce works. If the money was closer to the borrower, that means he didn't throw too far. So in the case of a get, it wouldn't be a good get. It's still his responsibility. If something happens to that money, he's got to pay him another time. But when he throws it, it's close to the malva, closer to him, then that's considered it's in his domain, and then niftar halova, the lova doesn't have to pay, and he's off the hook. What if it's smack dab in the middle, mechza al mechza, which we, and they, both of them are able to watch it at the same time. So now, im avdu misham o nignivu, if they got lost or stolen, since they both have equal responsibility, misham halova mechza, the lova has to give half back. Same thing with a get with a woman. We say it's a doubt. Migureshes ve'enu migureshes. He's divorced and not divorced. Means suffik migureshes. And therefore she has to give another get. So the same thing with her. Suffik he paid, suffik he didn't pay. We have no way of resolving the suffik. We split it down the middle and you pay half. That's only if he made those terms with him.
So Rabbi, if he threw money and some of it landed closer to one and some landed to the other, would it just be...
But usually you put it in a bag.
And no, but you didn't. I don't know.
I don't know. Let's do one more. Base. Hoya Ruvain Chayiv L'Shimon Mone. Okay, let's say Ruvain was Chayiv to Shimon 100. Ve'omar L'Levi. And now Ruvain, who says to Levi, a third guy, Holeich L'Shimon. I want you to take this money and acquire it on his behalf. I want to pay back Shimon. So you go, now Shimon did not appoint Levi as an agent. Ruvain, which really isn't allowed, has no right to do this, he appoints Levi as the agent to receive the money on Shimon's behalf.
Isn't he just Ruvain's agent?
He's saying,
here the word holech here, it means acquire it. If you look in the commentaries, it doesn't mean, you think it means just send it. No, acquire it now on his behalf. I want you to acquire it. That's not how it's supposed to be explained. The commentary says we learn it differently. So now here's the point. Let's say as soon as Reuben gave him the money, he said, you know, it wasn't a good idea because I owed a mafia guy just knocked on the door. I better get that money back and give it to the mafia guy first because Shimon's not such a bad guy. He'll wait a few days. I need this money. It was a mistake. I shouldn't have given to Levi. I need this $100 back right away. So, Imbol Achzer, if he wants to renege, Einochuzer, he can't renege. Because he already said, now there is a rule, Zochin Ladim Shalobafonov. You can bring merit to somebody not in his presence. Wait till hear the whole halacha. I know what you're thinking of. So in other words, if he gave it, he gave it to Levi. He said, I want you to acquire it on behalf of Shimon. If in so far as that, and nothing bad has happened, Shimon's got it. And to that extent, that Reuven can't back out and say, no, give me back the money. You already gave it to him. And for this aspect, it's like it's in Shimon's hands. Okay? Now, but here's the point. What happens if Levi loses it?
Reuven's not off the hook.
That's exactly so. But Reuven's still responsible. Comes to Shimon. So in other words, he has the worst of both worlds.
Yes, he's got both ends.
Because you're allowing the guy from your end to say the guy owns it, but Shimon can come around and say, but I never told him that. So therefore, that's the worst possible thing that Reuven could have done. Now, what if, let's keep going now. Hechser Levi es hamona leRuvain. What if Levi just gave it back to Reuven
without even asking for it?
No. Reuven was gaichayev, and he just took it. I guess he just took it back for whatever reasons. He took it back.
The road was closed. I don't know.
But he says,
happened.
You know what? I changed my mind. Okay. Here, we gives it back.
We just said Reuven can't ask for it back, but
no.
Now,
but he gave it back.
But Levi gave it back to him.
Yeah.
Okay. So guess what? Now, Shneim Chayom Bechres, they're both responsible for it now. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's say Reuven becomes impoverished, doesn't have money to pay. Then we collect from the Shliach. But if you can collect from Reuven, then he doesn't. Okay. So they both are Chayom Bechres, because in one way, you did accept it to take it for Shimon. So you accepted that responsibility. So now it's a joint responsibility. So now, obviously, for sure, Reuven really should pay the money. But what if Reuven all of a sudden loses all his money?
Mafia
got a king. Right? So until Shimon gets paid off everything, that messenger was not doing the best thing to give it back that way.